Let's start out in the book of John. I'll make a confession to you. Gary had given us some instruction to read John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, I believe that's right. Is that right? I've allowed that to slip in my life, so I'm going to tell you, don't let it slip in yours. Let's continue. I don't know that instruction has never lifted that I know of. Continue as often as you can. I would say daily reading those chapters, allowing it to become a part of you, and let His Word abide in you. All right, John chapter 15. I really want to get to the fifth verse, but we're going to start in verse 1, because we know here we don't ever want to lift anything out of context. So let's begin. John 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I'm going to go on just a little further. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So if we're going to be the disciples of Christ, we want to have fruit in our life, right? We want to be, that's according to what Jesus is saying, you're going to bear much fruit. If we abide in him, he abides in us. But verse 5, he said, without me, you can do nothing. And I think that sometimes, or many times, or maybe all the time, in our personal lives, we think, well, without him, I can do something, right? There's some things I can do without God, but there's other things I need him for. You may not say that, you may not even consciously think that, but many times our actions, our decisions, the things that we do, they say, well, I didn't, and maybe you make some type of mistake. This is not a message of condemnation. It's something for us to take inventory and look at in our own lives. Maybe we make a mistake and we look back and we say, man, why didn't I pray about that? Or why didn't I follow that unction from the Holy Spirit that was in my life? I'll tell you, just this week, it happened to me. At work, I have a schedule that I work. Right now, I'm off on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's been that way. We sign up for that, and it goes for like 6 or 8 weeks, and it's the same every week. So I don't think much about it. I just go to work. But in our contract, we have an agreement that every week, it's our responsibility to know our schedule, to show up on the days that we're scheduled. And the company, at their discretion, can change that by the Friday of the week before. Typically, they don't. There's generally never a change. But this week, there was a change. And they changed my days off. And so I was off, instead of Sunday and Wednesday, I was off Sunday and Thursday. Well, I didn't know that, and I didn't look at it. I heard someone else mention it. But I can tell you this. On the inside, I knew, take a look at your schedule. And I didn't do it. I thought, why would I do that? I have the same schedule every week. See, it's easy to think there's something I can do without him. I don't need the Holy Spirit to tell me my schedule. I know my schedule. But that's not the way it works. He's not interested in what we know. Gary said this at the conference. He said, you know, it's not my job to tell you what I know. It's my job to tell you what I hear. And it's the same thing in our life. It's not our jobs to do the things that we know. It's our job to do the things that we hear and the things that He tells us to do, to follow after Him. Yes, we have responsibilities. Yes, we have our daily lives to go to. But in that, He cares enough in every minute area of our life that we have to realize that without Him, we can do nothing. And as we're stepping into this place of revival, as we've already stepped into the beginnings of it, it's becoming more and more necessary that we understand that there's nothing that we can do without Him. See, I'm going to share a few personal things with you today that I hope will help you. A few weeks ago when I ministered, there were a few prophetic words that came forth. Well, for me, from the time that I was born again, and you heard my testimony this morning, really from the time that I moved out here to Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Lord has used me in that gifting of tongues and interpretation, which is, or prophecy, however you want to say it. Oftentimes it comes as tongues and interpretation. And a few weeks ago, for me, it was like this. It's like I'm just talking, and all of a sudden, I'm speaking in other tongues. And so I stop, and I didn't have the interpretation. Sometimes I'm standing there, and for me, it's awkward silence. But I'm not going to say anything if He's not saying it. And then He began to speak one, just like maybe a three-word phrase. And see, in the past, many times, if I have that unction where the Holy Spirit has given me a tongue, I'll catch a pretty good understanding of what He's saying, and then I can share it with you. But that time, I had no idea what He said. So I thought, well, maybe I don't have the interpretation. And I just get that phrase over and over, and He says, no. He finally had to tell me, speak that phrase. And when I did, then everything else began to flow. The Holy Spirit began to speak. And so I'm telling you that to say, God is training all of us to follow Him. And I asked the Lord some questions, because when I first started ministering and I first started flowing in these types of things, the Holy Spirit would come very strong on me. I would almost be shaking to give that word, to give that tongue. And I knew that it was God, you know, because I was like, okay, I'll finally do it. And there's times when I didn't do it. But recently, it's almost become like, I can't tell the difference whether it's me or it's Him. And so I was asking the Lord about it. I'm like, did I do something wrong? Am I missing something? And the Lord's showing me that as we mature in the things of God, that gap between the place where you make decisions on your own and the place where His influence on that decision is becoming smaller and smaller. So the place between you and Him comes closer and closer, the more we mature in Him, to where when we're functioning under the anointing, when we're functioning in our calling, when we're functioning in that gifting, we're just simply functioning as ourselves. Because He is always in us, and He's always wanting to do what His will is for us. And the more we mature in that, the easier and easier it becomes, the more natural it becomes for us to just function that way, because we're partakers of His divine nature. So that our new nature becomes our only nature. It is our only nature, but as we mature in it, we become more aware of that, and we're able to function in that more naturally. I think you all understand what I mean when I say that more. It flows easier. So for me sometimes, like these last few times that I've ministered, I may get there and I'm doing whatever the Lord's telling me to do, and then I kind of come to myself and I'm like, what do I do now? What happened? And so I believe that those moments are going to become fewer and fewer, to where we don't come out of that place. We just flow with Him. Now, I'm not telling you if whatever your calling is, there's times when that anointing comes on you for that calling, right? Like, I don't go around preaching everywhere that I go. I don't go around prophesying every moment of the day. But what I'm saying is that whether I'm prophesying or I'm installing internet, I'm going to do it under the unction of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to allow it. He wants it to be that way. And I'm learning how to flow that way. And I believe that is the place that all of us have to come to. If you're not there yet, that's where we have to get to. Where without Him, I can do nothing. I don't want to be able to do some things and other things I need Him for. No, I want to be in that place where without Him, I can do nothing. Because as long as I'm doing things without Him, I'm going to have trouble in my life. I'm going to have difficulties. I'm going to have obstacles. Now, obviously, the enemy brings obstacles anyway. But when we're following Him, those things don't really mean anything. Because see, what did He say? He says, in this world you'll have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. So why should I try to do this on my own? He's overcome it already. So I want to tell you, every time in your life when you're facing something that you don't know the answer to, and you're facing a struggle, a trial, a tribulation, a problem, just take a moment and look and see that He didn't lead you there, right? But He'll lead you out. And so, like this week, I had to repent. Say, Lord, forgive me. I know You were trying to tell me not to go to work or to go to work. And I missed that. And you know, it's not condemnation. It's encouragement to know that He's there in every step, in everything that we're doing. Every step that we're taking, He's there with us. Hallelujah. So I've been wanting to mention this for a little while. I believe tonight's a good time to do this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Well, let's first go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Remember, without Him, we can do nothing. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, first verse, it says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, hang on, let's back up to chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When we come together to hear a message, we ought not come to listen to what a man has to say, no matter who that person is, but we come to receive the power that comes from the demonstration of the Spirit. I mentioned this morning, when we come together, we should be prepared in the Spirit to receive from the Holy Ghost. Doesn't mean you should come prepared to minister in a service if it's not your service. I'm not saying that God won't do something like that, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying when we come together and our hearts, when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing at home, when we're following the Holy Ghost, we're spending that time in prayer, when we're having our personal time with Him, then when we come together, then the Holy Spirit's able to do what He needs to and deliver to you what you need for that time. He's able to deliver by His Spirit what He has for you. I am convinced that at least a part of the reason, and probably a good part of the reason, that many people aren't here today. Many people that have been here in the past that have gotten, I'll say it this way, those who have gotten offended and decided not to come back, it's because, at least a portion of that, because they were unable to receive by the Spirit what was being said in this place. I mentioned this morning, and I mentioned it humorously, you know. You hear Pastor Dave and you think, I'm going to quit my job, pray in tongues for 3 months and have an international ministry. I say that sounds humorous, and it is, but it's often what people hear. And the reason we hear that is because we haven't prepared ourselves in the Spirit to receive what the Spirit is saying. We heard what Dave had to say. See, we heard what was being spoken, but we didn't hear what the Spirit behind it. We didn't receive all that was being said, and so we misunderstood what was happening, and then we go about it expecting one thing. We get offended and disappointed because we didn't really receive the expectation of the Spirit. We received the expectation of our own mind, carnality, flesh, those types of things. So, not only is it our responsibility as ministers to not bring enticing words with man's wisdom, but it's also all of our responsibilities that whoever's ministering to not receive enticing words of man's wisdom, but to be listening with the Spirit and receive what the Spirit is saying. Because I believe that as we continue down this path more and more, we already know that His glory fills every service, right? Those can't be just words, because if they're just words, then you're not receiving what we read in John where He said, let my words abide in you and you abide in me. If they're just words that don't have meaning to them, then they're mindless confessions that will do nothing for you. But if these words become a part of you and they mean something to you and you're speaking them from the Spirit, you're going to believe and you're going to see the glory of God fill every service. The glory of God fills every service. When we come into this place, the glory of God is here. This has been a glorious season. I mean, I don't know if you all have received it, but I'm telling you, every service, well, it doesn't matter who the minister is, the glory of God has ministered to me. I'm thankful that I go to this church. I'm thankful to be here every time because God shows up. He's here. It doesn't mean I want to be here every time, but it's becoming easier to put all of that aside. Because the instructions are simple. He hasn't made anything complicated. We continue in what we know. We continue to fellowship with Him. We continue in prayer. We continue to come together. We quit making excuses. We continue walking with Him. Really, it's a time when I believe the Lord is saying, grow up. Be who I have called you to be. Do what I told you to do. And you'll see that my glory is here. You know, no more whining and complaining and making excuses for why this hasn't happened in your life. But just understand that you are complete in Him. The enemy is going to continue. He doesn't have anything new. The devil's going to say the same thing over and over again about how dumb it is and how silly you are for continuing and nothing's happening and blah, 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 blah. Who cares? None of that has anything to do, not a thing to do with what the Lord has said. So there may be days when there's a yammering in my ear. But so what? I get up anyway. Go to prayer anyway. Go to church anyway. And if something happens where you missed it, then get up the next day and do it anyway. And we continue to walk after the Spirit in a simple, I believe that the instructions we've received from the Lord are kindergarten simple. Pray. Spend time with Him. Get away from the things of the world. And the awesome thing about it is those are the general instructions from the Lord. But God has very specific things just for you. And when we follow the general instructions, then He can give us specific instructions. Not sure I'm going to get to where I wanted to get today, but that's all right. We're going to jump down the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 2. I'll just read on. It's only a couple of verses. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Let me say that again, because in the Amplified Version, that same verse, verse 6, it says, yet when we are among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom. The knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden, but it is intended not a wisdom of this present age or of this world, nor of the leaders and rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. That's highly amplified. Verse 6. 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The last verse I'm going to read again, the Amplified Bible says, but the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are folly, meaningless, nonsense to him. And he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. So when we come together, or when you're listening to a message online, or when you're listening to the Word of God, or you're reading the Word of God, keep in mind that the natural man is incapable of knowing spiritual truths. And God is not asking us to understand with our natural mind the things of the Spirit. He's asking us to understand with the Spirit the instructions that He's giving us and to follow them. So the natural man's job, our job, is to put our natural man in submission, to renew our minds to the things that God is saying, and not allow those distractions that our flesh brings to us. Just like I said earlier, all those things where all the lies, all the temptations that the natural man brings, that the enemy brings, that circumstances bring to tell you that what you're doing isn't making a difference. Our job is to take the truth that we have in the Spirit, that spiritual truth, that these are the instructions of the Lord, and our instruction is to stay the course. Do not veer off. Don't look at something that's going to be easier. Don't look at something that's going to come quickly or appear as though it's going to be quickly. Because honestly, the quickest way to revival is to follow Him. It may not, you know, in the natural, they say, you know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. But in the Spirit, that's nonsense. It may look like revival's right there, and we may have to go, you know, all over the place before we get there. Why? Because He's equipping us that when we get there, we win. He's not the one holding it back. But he's also not wringing his hands. He's not wondering when it's going to come. He's not concerned that we're late. And as we receive from the Spirit, by the Spirit, we're able to walk in a place that is free from condemnation, free from hope deferred, because we understand that God's already there. He's already provided it. He's not holding it back. And so when we make our confessions tonight, we want to confess from a place of the Spirit, a place where not only are we saying these things hoping that they'll come, but we're saying them from an understanding that He's already provided it. We're saying, when we're saying that Tulsa's in revival, we're saying that from a place of completeness. And allow that to spill over into your natural life, into your daily life, so that when we're living in Tulsa, I live in Tulsa, and it doesn't always look like Tulsa's in revival. When I look out my window, sometimes there's things going on that are contrary to revival. So that means I have to take that thought captive and submit it to the truth of God's word that He's given us, that Tulsa is in revival. It doesn't matter what the circumstances say. We are the just. We walk by faith. Amen. We're His righteousness. Hallelujah. Well, I think I've learned that the clock doesn't determine when I'm done. My natural mind doesn't get to determine when we're done, but I'm learning to let the Holy Spirit determine when we're done. And I feel like that's as far as He wants to go tonight. There were some things I wanted to get into, but I believe that's for another time, or however He wants to do it. Doesn't matter to me. He's going to have His way. All right. So hopefully you get something out of that tonight. And we continue to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. We're going to go to our confessions. I know if you have to leave, that's fine. We're going to begin the confessions for revival, the confessions for the prayer center.